good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Hello, family. It's Wednesday. It is time for our Bible study. It's good to see you all. Let me thank Reverend Wilson and all those who took care of the business while I ran and hid for a few days. You know, every now and then you got to get your little Sabbath. You got to rest. And I appreciate them. Let's get right into our lesson. Our lesson topic for the day is the bearer of bad news. The bearer of bad news found in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 5 through 18. The bearer of bad news. Lord, you didn't hear me say good news. The bearer of bad news. When you pick up, when we get to this lesson, our lesson on today, what you need to know is that it is covering the early days of the early part of the ministry, a portion of the ministry of the great prophet Elijah. Elijah was the prophet to the northern kingdom. Of course, you know that the kingdoms had split by now, and the northern kings, they had more of a propensity toward idolatry. And as a matter of fact, Jeroboam the first king of the northern kingdom, one of the first things he did in his reign was violated the first two of the Ten Commandments, where he allowed them to build two golden calves. Let me tell y'all something. You better be careful about worshiping these golden images. You hear what I'm saying? You better be real careful about worshiping golden images. That is idolatry, and God will strike you down. God will deal with you when you are worshiping those golden images. Oh, I bet you hear exactly what I'm saying. And when you have the leadership, the people at the top worshiping these golden images, or people who are at the top and they themselves are worshiping themselves, then it causes the rest of the nation, other individuals, to do the wrong thing. Are you with me? So there was problems at the top. Now, here we are in the reign of King Ahab, all right, in the northern kingdom. And King Ahab was married to a woman by the name of Jezebel. Now, Ahab was already messed up because of his foreparents, but then he married this woman, Jezebel, who was the daughter of the king of Zidon, Z-I-D-O-N. And that king was a devout worshiper of the little g god Baal. And his daughter also was a worshiper of little g god Baal. And you know what happened? That messed up the man. That messed up the household. That messed up everything and everybody. But watch God. Out of nowhere, in 1 Kings chapter 17, here comes Elijah, this short, bald man. Elijah shows up and proclaims to them by the Spirit of God that there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. God had moved into his spirit through Elijah and caused him to prophesy, and he was the bearer of bad news for them. Know this about Baal. See, when you're worshiping Baal, Baal, little g now, was seen as the god of fertility, the god of growth. So that would be growing of plants. That would be, he would have, supposed to have, little g god, power of over nature, over by that I mean weather, all of that kind of stuff. And then here you have God showing them that Baal is not God, little g God, because when you have Elijah saying there will be no rain, and you got Elijah saying that there will be not only any rain, it won't be any food, it's going to be a famine in the land, that's a slap in the face to little g God Baal, who the people were worshiping, knowing that he's a false god, y'all. Amen. God is really getting ready to show him up. So that's chapter 17. And then you have a God working with and working through Elijah, and you had the prophets of Baal. They were slain. And then you have Jezebel. Hello, somebody. Jezebel, you know what she did? She came back and she said, well, I'm going to slaughter all of the prophets of Yahweh. And she came through and did that. But watch this, y'all. God always has somebody working in the room. Amen. Amen. God has somebody at work around us. You can be in the most evil environment. But I want you to know, if you are a child of God, you are not in these environments by yourself. God will dispatch covering around you. God will dispatch help around you. And listen, if you ever want to know what courage is really all about, I dare you to get into the Word of God. I dare you to be in conversation with God. I dare you to allow God to be the lead and the guide of your life. And even when you are in the minority, when it looks like there are more people on the side of wrong than on the side of right, God sure has a way of making you a giant killer. He is able to do every bit of that. So look at verse number five, our first verse for today. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. Here you've got the king. Here you have the king. It got so bad to where the king had to come down from his throne. I'm talking about Ahab. The king gets with Obadiah, who was the governor in the house. He was the head butler. He was the one who was keeping the house of Jezebel. Watch God. Of Jezebel and Ahab in order. Here you've got the king going out and took Obadiah with him, and they are foraging for food. They're trying to find food. Watch this. Not food for the people, but they're trying to find food because of the king wanted food for the mules. Oh, God. He wanted fuel for the beasts. He wanted fuel for the horses. He wanted to make sure that they had the food that they needed in order to remain strong. Some theologians and historians say, well, because if you lose your animals, then when it came time for war, you wouldn't have any horses. You wouldn't have any mules to work the land. Now, the land was already dried up, y'all. Amen. The land was already dried up. It was already dried up. So God had brought Ahab down off of his throne all the way down to where he's going and searching for food. Won't God do it? Won't God pull us down off of our high horses? Won't God pull us out of these places of authority? Won't God humble every last one of us? God will humble you, and you will find that you will have to do the will and the bidding of the Most High God. Yes, you do. Amen. You do, I do, all of us. They were foraging for food. It had gotten that bad to where the king was with one of his servants out looking for food in order to sustain the animals. Amen. God will bring you down. You ought to write that. They are surviving in the midst of a famine, and God brought him down from his high horse and now has him looking for food in the marsh. Verse number six says, so they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. It was a large territory. Ahab realized that, you know what, it's going to be hard for me and you to cover this territory and we still together. So he sent him off on his merry way. Watch this. God is sure blessing you when he separates you from evildoers. Amen. Amen. See, sometimes we become enablers of folks' evil. You know what I mean by an enabler? We allow folks to act crazy, and we don't ever say anything to them. We allow people to do wrong. We allow people to talk about bad about other individuals. We allow them to do these things, and we are enabling them. But God has a way. You can fall out. Through a disagreement. You name it. I mean, whatever it is. But God has a way of separating you so that he can deal with you. He'll let the evildoer go their way, but then God will take you in another direction so that God can deal with you by yourself. See, some of us have a tendency of wanting to huddle up and be around people. In my studies of lynchings, I've noticed in my study that usually when a black man or black woman was being lynched, they were lynched by what's called a lynch mob. A lynch mob, that's a group of people who have malintent. And then if you would, you'll find that you've got that riotous mentality that builds up in them and cause them to do harm to a person. They see a lynch mob does not have the courage that they ought to. They don't stand by themselves. They've got to bring other people with them. And when they catch you by yourself, then that's when they can do harm to you. But if you got a whole lot of folk and then they've got some folk with them, it's funny how things calm down. God can move the evil people out of your way so that he can have direct access to your mind, direct access to your spirit. You don't think Obadiah was walking through that wilderness by himself talking to God the whole time? Hello, somebody. He didn't know what God had in store for him. So listen to me. If there's anybody in the sound of my voice and you've been divided up from those people who you thought were with you. You thought they were your friends, people you thought that had your best interest at heart, or maybe they thought like you thought, acted like you acted. But because you are a child of God, God needed to get you by yourself so that he can deal with yourself. Okay, amen. Check that out. Bad grammar, but I bet you understand what I'm saying. Verse number 7 says, and as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? In other words, is it you? Now know this. Elijah had been hiding out in Zidon. Elijah was being fed by a raven at the brook. Hello, but then the Bible says that, 1 Kings 17, the Bible says that the brook dried up. And when the brook dried up, God sent him to Zarephath. 1 Kings 17, y'all read that. And when he got to Zarephath, there was a woman with a widow woman with a son, and all the woman had to eat was a little bit that was left in the barrel. What the widow woman was going to do was make that last meal, and she was going to eat some, a child was going to eat some, and then they would just starve to death and die. Her words. But then the man of God showed up, and when the man of God showed up, the man of God said, well, feed me first and see what God will do for you. Y'all know I'm paraphrasing. But the Bible is so awesome because after that initial meal, every time that woman went back to that meal barrel, it was food in there for she and her family and also for the man of God. So know this, that with that in mind, the scripture says that now here you have Elijah. Elijah, who had been hiding in Zidon. I told you that Zidon was where Jezebel was from. Elijah hiding in plain sight. Amen. But watch God, that here they are now where you had the king Ahab in one direction, Obadiah in another direction, and behold, Obadiah comes in contact with Elijah the prophet, the man of God. Amen. And the scripture says that Obadiah knew who he was, and Obadiah fell to his feet. Now, I want you to understand that Obadiah was not worshiping Elijah, but Obadiah was respecting Elijah. Amen. Don't miss me. Obadiah was respecting Elijah. He knew who Elijah was. Amen. He not only knew who he was, but he saw what Elijah did, what God did through Elijah. So he reverenced him. Why? Because he knew that God was at work through this man. Hello, somebody. He knew that God was at work through that man. And so when he saw him, he worshiped him. And watch this. The title when he says Lord here, I don't know what it looks like. Bless your heart. In your particular Bible, but in the King James, it's a little L. It's a lowercase L. It's not a capital L. My Lord. So what he's saying, my Lord, he is reflecting on and reverencing who he is, but it is not a title of deity. All right. Not a title of deity. Verse number 8 says, and he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, little L, behold, Elijah is here. Ahab had been looking for Elijah. Ahab had given the order that whoever finds Elijah, captures Elijah, you bring him to me. If not, you're going to die. Elijah says to Obadiah, I am who you think I am. Now go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Now you know this is somewhat a play on words, because Elijah kind of digs a little bit here and says, go tell the other man that you respect that I'm here. Well, watch Obadiah. Watch Obadiah's recovery. Tell him I'm here. And he said, watch this, Obadiah. This is Obadiah talking now, y'all. Obadiah, and he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Verse number 9. Obadiah saying, what did I do? Hello, you know, I'm out here trying to find water. I'm out here trying to find food for the animals. I'm out here because I work for the man. Hello, somebody. I work for the man, but I'm your servant. I work for the man, but I'm a worshiper of Yahweh. I work for the man. Hello, somebody. But my allegiance and my loyalty is to God. I want y'all to hear me right now. Just because you work for certain folk and you are given orders to do certain things, y'all better listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, does not mean that your loyalty is owed to them. Ultimately, you are called to be loyal to God. Break it down, preacher. If anybody asks you to do anything unethical, if it is against the word of God, hello, somebody, then you are not held to that particular order, command, or that assignment. God calls you to ultimately be loyal unto him. You say, what did I do to you? You know, because you know what's going to happen. If I go to him and told him that I saw you, then he's going to kill me. Well, what's the issue? Well, because Elijah, Obadiah understood that Elijah has a tendency, the Holy Spirit coming upon Elijah, and Elijah would just like disappear. You know, Elijah's supposed to be one place and then not be there. And that's a problem. And it's a problem because if you bring in the king, now the king's already tired. He's out there trying to find food. He's humiliated, embarrassed, shamed, and he's out there foraging for food with the servants. And then you're going to tell me to come here and Elijah's not here. The king going to kill me, man. Come on, Elijah. You know, what have I done to you? Do you not know, of my reputation, man? I love the Lord. He says to him in verse number 10, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. My king has been looking for you everywhere and haven't found you. And here you are showing up wanting me to deliver a message. That's a problem. Because even when the people were sent to go find you, and they could not find you, even then they had to swear an oath that they didn't find you. Now back then, y'all, a person's word meant something. Your word is your bond. You know, I'm 54, be 55 in a few months. And there was a time, even in my time as a kid, where when we shook on it, a handshake meant something. You know, we'd even spit in our hand and shake on it. You know, we saw that stuff on TV, you understand, with the cowboy movies. But Lone Ranger and Tonto, you understand. They would shake on your word meant something. If you say it didn't happen, you meant it. Amen. You weren't lying about it. We live in a time now where it's easy, folk. They just lie. Amen. But in this particular text, here you have Obadiah saying, the king's been looking for you everywhere. Verse 11 and 12. I'm going to read those together. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read 11 through 13. And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men in the Lord's of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? Come on, Elijah. You know how you do sometimes, Elijah. That's in verses 11 through 13. Elijah, you can be somewhere, then the Spirit of the Lord come and take you away, and I show up and you aren't there. Come on, Elijah. You know how you do. Come on, Elijah. Why you setting me up like this? Look what I've done. When Elijah, when you thought that you were the only one, God made it clear to you, you got 7,000 ain't thought about bowing to Baal. Elijah, when Jezebel thought that all of the prophets of Yahweh were dead, were gone. Hello, God used me. I fed the prophets of Yahweh from the very table that Jezebel was eating at. I fed them her food. Oh, that's a word there. Obadiah was the governor of the house. Obadiah was over everything and everybody. Obadiah was feeding men who had been exiled, whose lives were being threatened. They were being hunted down. God provided through Obadiah food from Jezebel's table. He's saying, surely you don't think that I'm following Jezebel. I'm following Baal. Surely you don't think that that's the kind of man I am. Come on now. I've been worshiping God since I was a child. Amen. I'm in it with you, brother. I'm on your side. Why would you offer me up in this way? Have you ever had to have a little talk with God? Amen. Have you ever wondered why God would allow you to be in hostile territory? Have you ever asked yourself, God? No, you ain't asked yourself. You asked God. You say, God, why do you have me here? I was fine. I was fine just pastoring. I was fine as a deacon. I was fine as the mission teacher. I was fine. But Lord God, you called me to a hostile environment. They are talking crazy. They want to crucify me. But then God, you call. Oh, come on now. I've done all that you've asked me to do. And you call me to this mess. Every now and then, God will call you to a mess. Amen. God will call you to a mess. You know why? Because God knows what's in you. God knows what he put in you. God put integrity in you. God put ethics in you. God put a moral compass in your spirit. God is in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God did that thing. Amen. That's where your courage comes from. See, your courage comes from not from being cocky, not from smelling yourself, not from being overly ambitious, but the courage and that you have, the initiative that you have, it is the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that means that when I've got to bring some bad news, you're going to just have to hear what thus says the Lord, because he gave it to me to tell it to you. And Elijah said, amen, verse number 14, and now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. You telling me to go, knowing that this man might kill me. Watch this. But Elijah said, verse 15, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him that day. He says, listen, I'm going to give you my word. One is, I know God is real. Since my God is real, I'm telling you, as God is real, so will I keep my word and be where I need to be. Watch this. So Obadiah, verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Watch this. Elijah's word was good enough. Hello, to where Obadiah would go and do something that he would not have normally do, normally would have done. And not only that, but Obadiah fought to go. He didn't want to go. But the man of God gave him his word. Obadiah says, you know what? I know my God is real. I know what God does with and through Elijah. Therefore, I will go. Those who are in leadership position, let me help you understand something. You will find yourself in hostile territory. Those of you in leadership position, you will find that you're going to have to lean and depend on the Word of God. And sometimes that's going to be all the assurance that you have. God's not going to show you a sign. God's not going to, not going to whisper in your ear. You're just going to have to go off of the word that he gave to you in the beginning. That word that sparked that fire, that ingenuity, that unction, that calling, but you're going to have to go by that and be fine with that. Obadiah went on that word. Is your word good like that? Is your word good enough to where if you tell somebody something is true? And they can bank on it? Verse 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Ahab says, is it you? Man, you can cause me so many problems. Is it you? See, I learned something about real prophets. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of one either. But I learned this, y'all. The word of God will trouble people who choose not to accept the truth. Amen. Amen. People don't like the truth. We live in a time, and I'm not bothering anybody, but when I hear people say, I'm going to tell my truth, you know, I know that might be, you know, the lingo for the day, for this present era, but you don't ever go tell your truth. You tell the truth. The truth comes from the Word of God. I'm not knocking you because you say that, but what I'm saying to you is make sure that whatever truth you tell is the truth. Somebody said they used the term a few years ago called alternative facts. No, that's a lie. Fact is fact. Everything else is not so. Watch this. Final verse. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel. But thou, you have, in thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now, I'm not the problem, says Elijah. You're the problem. You're the reason why there's a famine. You're the reason why people are dying in your kingdom. You're the reason why your oxen and your mules and your horses have no food to eat. It's your fault. You know why it's your fault? Because you knew better and didn't do better. Not only you, but also your father's house. It's you and your kinfolk. Because all of you forsook God. Broke God's commands. Put other gods before God. And have followed Balaam. Now Balaam is the plural form of Baal. So when he says Balaam, he's saying, not only did you follow the little G Balaam, the little G God, but plural, you've got other idols now, other little gods, and you put me aside. Now, you're the problem. I'm going to wrap up with this. When you looked in the mirror, who did you see? Did you see the answer to your problem? Or did you see the problem? Lord, have mercy. May the Lord God bless you. May God keep you. Elijah, the bearer of bad news, according to who's getting it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come thanking you, loving you, appreciating all that you do in us and through us. Lord God, may the people continue to know, Master, that You are still God. You're the God who separates us from bad actors. You're the God who speaks truth even when people don't want to hear it. You're the God who causes us to look into the mirror and see the blemishes on our faces and in our spirits, in our hearts. And you're calling us forth to be truthful with ourselves. And remind us that when we go, and we get to be courageous because you are with us, you have not left us, nor have you forsaken us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray this prayer together. We love you, God. Oh, God, hear this prayer. Come see about us. Come see about us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray this prayer together. Thank God and amen. Thank you for being here for a Bible study. May the Lord God bless you. May God keep you. And I'll see you next time. Amen.